This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning. Welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti, with Greg Walton here today. And today we are with world-famous Eric Genuis, who is going to be visiting St. Philip, who actually this is his concert will have already happened, which would have been last night, and today is Mother's Day. So the concert is still available on our St. Philip site. We want people to check it out. But we welcome Eric Genuis today here on this Mother's Day. So welcome, Eric.
Thank you very much, John. Wonderful to be with you.
And Eric is in Cincinnati doing concerts. But Eric, tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you've been, where you live, and you know, the music that you've been doing. We know mainly working with people in prisons, which is an amazing ministry, and how that's inspired this new recording. So,
yeah, thank you for asking. I've been composing music my whole life, and I started touring, and I promised myself when I was very young that I would never say no to any concert based on anything, based on money, based on location. And so I'm very grateful I've sort of kept that. One day when I was quite young, a gentleman said, "Hey, why don't you come into a prison and play?" I work at a prison. Went in, and the reaction was unbelievable. I mean, John, these are the ugliest places on the planet. You know, these prisons, it's the architect that gets, you know, that submits the ugliest plans gets the job kind of thing, you know. And so I remember looking around and feeling very dismal and thinking, boy, it's really tough. When you walk into someone's home, the colors, the pictures on the wall, all that reminds you of love and goodness and beauty and inspiration. And when you go into these places, there's absolutely nothing, nothing whatsoever that is uplifting or stirring or inspiring on a human level. And so what I wanted to do was, you know, when I went in and played, I marveled at how these men who are used to and bathing in this ugliness responded. One man in the front row stood up and yelled out, you know, "I forgot what hope felt like." And I thought, wow, that's really strong. And so, other men were just, you know, my violinist had a solo and he was yelling in the middle of the solo. He said, "Just play, play." Like he was just drinking it in. And I remember thinking there is a whole, it just, you know, hit me hard. There is a whole population of people, a whole ton of people in our country that are forgotten and that we've become very comfortable forgetting about. And so what I thought, you know, they have the dignity of everybody else. They have the dignity. They're made in the image of God. There's this beautiful, mystical, sublime, unspeakable, immeasurable dignity that they all have. And yet they're forgotten. And so I just thought, you know, I have the ability to write some music that I can take great musicians in and go in and play and give them inspiration, uplift their humanity. And so, like I said, the reactions are very strong. There was one man that really struck me. I was performing in California. It was at Donovan Prison, just outside San Diego. And there was a young man, mid-30s. And, you know, I was walking up and down. When I'm in prison, I'm walking up and down the aisle. I'm with them, you know. And so I'm walking up and down the aisle and sort of, you know, making jokes and having fun and just dialogue. And this man stood up and he grabbed my microphone right out of my hand, mid-sentence. And, you know, he was sort of desperate. And I thought, boy. And this is what he said. He said, "I was sentenced at 15 years to a double murder. I'm never getting out of here. I died that day. In order to survive in here," he said, "I internally died that day." And he said, "Today is the first day since then that I feel alive." So I just think, you know, that's what, you know, I take great musicians, John, I hand them the notes, they make the music. So I take in these extraordinary musician gentlemen and they, you know, and the people are moved. And that's what I believe music was always meant to be. Music is like a vehicle that transports beauty, and we all thirst for beauty. And so I just sort of look at music being able to reach the soul in ways that nothing else can. No painting, no sermon, no words, just beauty. Where words fail, beauty picks up and penetrates deeply. And so you get these strong reactions, and I couldn't ignore them. All I could think about was they're desperate. They're here. I have the ability to do something. I've got to do it. Simple.
That's a beautiful ministry. And because those guys are human beings too, and children of God, and why people make mistakes and all that kind of stuff, it's various reasons, and to not cancel them out as whatever the wrong that they've done, but to also realize that, how do we still be present, with them. And I think music is an amazing way to help people feel what words can't express.
That's a great point. And one of the things I find about them, one of the things that I find about a lot of inmates is that they struggle with a lot of things. So there's been unbelievable abuse in their life, unbelievable abuse in their past. And what's fascinating is that a lot of them, on appearance, and not just inmates, but let's pinpoint it to inmates, a lot of them are what you would say difficult to love, right? They have an edge, they're angry, or maybe they don't have the best hygiene, or maybe they're a little mentally off, or maybe they're a little emotionally off. And so they're the ones that you're not naturally drawn to. And what I find interesting about that is that there's many people, not just in prison, but in our civilization, that, that we're sort of, people aren't naturally drawn to them. So you see the kid in the lunchroom who sits alone day after day, the child that, has so much anxiety that they can't even interact with other people. And I think, okay, so we have, we sort of push them aside and say, oh, they're bizarre and they're strange. And I think, no, when Christ said, he said, what you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me. He didn't say what you do for the best of my brothers or the greatest of my brothers. He said, what you do for the least. And the least are the people that I think are the tough ones. And I suppose we all have tough things about our personalities at times that make us unlovable, unapproachable, undesirable. But there are people that struggle with certain things that just, they have a lot of emotional struggles, a lot of mental illness. They look normal. They may sound normal, but they have struggles. They have struggles with high anxiety, with depression, with autism, with Asperger's, with all kinds of things that make them a little undesirable. And I think, that's who we go after. Those are the people that you were to embrace. Those are the people that we are to befriend. When I go and play in schools, whether they be, these very sort of high-end private schools or whether I'm playing in an inner city school, I hammer those kids on bullying, on making fun of those kids, but also on embracing those kids. I have a daughter with Down syndrome, and she's easily ignored. She's never going to do makeup with you. She's never going to talk about the latest Netflix series that everybody's binging. She doesn't know the movies. She doesn't know the latest greatest song or artist or who won the Grammys or the Oscars. She doesn't know any of that stuff. So, if someone comes and visits, she can't sit there and say, oh, let's do makeup. She doesn't know those things. And so she's easily ignored because she's difficult to engage and difficult to find common interests. But that's exactly my daughter loves. And my daughter has a desire to be loved. If you think about the human condition, the most euphoric expression in the human condition is to love and to be loved. We do all kinds of things like, we buy boats and we buy airplanes and we travel and we do all these things, which are good, but really, what the human heart thirsts for is to love and to be loved. And my daughter is no different. So if you want to make my daughter's life, you'll invite her to a tea party, or you'll come over for a tea party, just you and her, would make her world. Well, forget my daughter. Who are the people in your life? And I'm not talking about you specifically, obviously, but just people out there. Who are the people that are sort of ostracized? They could be in our churches. They could be in our schools. They could be in our workplace. They could be in a nursing home. They're all around us in our community. And who are we reaching out to uplift their soul and give them the dignity of Christ, right? It's not so easy.
It's very admirable what you do. And the other thing is that the music that you're bringing these people, tell us about the type of music that you're bringing, because, you know, that's the part I find that's interesting, is that the classical sense that you're bringing to these prisoners that ignites hope.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting, John. When you look at people that suffer or that are struggling, have certain struggles, their pain internally, they know they're rejected. They know that they're not lovable. They know that people ostracize them. They know it. They sense it. They feel it. That sense of being sort of undesirable or unapproachable to people is crushing to them. And so all the more we should reach out to them. What I do with my music, first of all, I think music is very disarming. I think there's, you know, different styles of music, and I'm not going to, you know, sort of comment on styles that I know very little about. But I just look at the human heart. It's meant for beauty. And when you take a world-class violinist and you present it to people with themes and I tell stories in concert because I want people to know why I wrote the piece, what inspired the piece. I think it's more compelling, and I think it rounds off the concert so nicely so that people can digest the music and knowing what the composer was sort of thinking when that piece was being composed. I think it invites the audience to a deeper level of enjoyment and deeper level of internalization of the music. But the music itself, it's not classical because it's my music. So I wrote it now, I live now. What I try to do is take, and what sort of comes naturally to me, is to take the theme, like sort of classical in form. So I use the violin, I use the cello, and I use, you know, and I use a wonderful singer, and I'm the pianist. And so I compose themes. And so it's classical in form. There's a lot of, you know, there's, you know, hopefully, God willing, beautiful melodies. And then there's counter melodies. There's a lot of counterpoint. There's a lot of sort of wild tools that you would use that, you know, you sort of learn from classical composing. But the music is very modern. The music is hopefully very approachable. Like, I have one operatic piece, but the piece is very modern. So people say, oh, I don't like opera. And well, yeah, but you don't have to like opera to like operatic in style and this piece. And so what I do is I try to make it very engaging for the audience. I'm very grateful. I go in and play in youth prisons and they're engaged. And I go in and play for the classical elite and they're engaged. And that's the thing that I find really exciting is that, you know, beauty connects. It connects with everybody. So last night I played a concert in Cincinnati and there was, you know, it was a very sort of, you know, upscale concert. And there was a lot of people who would be regular symphony attenders. And the reaction was very strong. I'm very grateful for that. But again, it's just, what is it? Is it, you know, it's just beauty. And beauty has a way of connecting with the heart. And you don't need to know anything about music. John, my favorite compliment, I was playing in a prison for the criminally, for those who suffered mentally in the prisons. So this would have been in Illinois. And I'll just never forget, this one man stood up and he pointed to the cello and he said, I don't know what that is. And he pointed to the violin. He says, I don't have a clue what that is. And then he says, I don't even know what you're playing. And then he said, but as long as you're playing, I am not in this ugly prison. I am anywhere else. That's beautiful. Now, that to me says a ton, right? So this man who knows nothing about music, and you don't need to know anything about music to know what moves your heart. you know? So people say, listen, I don't know, you know, what this is. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know. You don't need to, you know, need to know what like a violin is from a hockey stick to come and enjoy the show. But come, because, you know, we're meant for beauty. And when you have a wonderful opportunity to see these great soloists live and up close, take it. It enhances our humanity. The whole point of me going into these dark places is to uplift the humanity, to inspire the soul of people, and to sort of remind them of their profound dignity.
Yeah, I'm just, what I'm hearing, Eric, are the Transcendentals just kind of coming out. It's really the platform. The Transcendentals are truth, beauty, and goodness. You know, you're speaking truth to people about their dignity. You're using the beauty of music, you know, and instruments, and just reflecting goodness to people. And that, what's kind of neat is it kind of transcends whatever genre might appeal to you, and seems to be speaking to people's hearts. Yeah. And it'd be good to have, you know, something for folks to hear. So what would you recommend that we go and listen to now? Let's throw in one of your pieces.
Wonderful. Thank you. I have a piece on my new album. My new album is called Redemption. And this is, I would love to share a piece called Mercy with everyone.
Awesome. All right. So here is Mercy from Eric Genesis' new album, Redemption. You're listening to Living Real on Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design.
listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg, here with my co-host John Angotti, and we are interviewing Eric Jenness, who performed a concert last night at St. Philip. We just heard Mercy off of Eric's new album, Redemption. And Eric has been telling us about his ministry, especially to folks on the margins, and bringing what we were talking about before, the transcendentals, truth, beauty, and goodness to people, and how that really has been transcending people's hearts and expectations in a lot of ways. Eric, tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it's the most important point. So if we separate them, and you know, I'll try not to give a long answer. But if we look about goodness, so then the question is, we have something now that we've never had before in history, right? We have the World Library of Music at our fingertips. Is that good? So we talk about truth, goodness, and beauty. You know, is it inherently good? What is good? You know, and this is such a tough question, because if you think of one of the most famous songs out there right now, it's, you know, there's a certain vulgarity to it that you can't even repeat the title, right? So I look at that and I think, okay, so our young have full access to this stuff. Is that good? What's good? And I just keep coming back to the same thing. To me, I'm a very simple man. And so I keep it simple. I think music, to me, Bach on every sheet of paper wrote for the greater glory of God. Why? Not because he was holy and he wanted to give God every note. I'm sure that was part of it. But I firmly believe, because Bach, and in studying Bach, he felt that there was something about music unique to music. Music and music alone has this ability to be written in a way that's beautiful. And this mysterious item, if you will, called beauty, is carried by the music and goes to the heart and reaches the essence of the person, the soul, if you will, that which animates us. But the deepest part of the person, that, if it's beautiful, is good. If it's not beautiful, if it brings out aggression, if it brings out, you know, other things that sort of bring out the lower nature in the person, which we all are capable and which we all have, that's not good. So the question is it a big deal? Is music just entertainment? Or is it even worth talking about music with respect to the good, the beautiful, and the true? You know, I think it's like nothing else. I think that music is the most impactful thing that we have. We all think, oh, well, you know, your job is, or I think music is. Young people spend so much time sort of encountering their music through headphones, probably hours and hours and hours a day. That is part of their formation. That teaches them how they look at themselves. That teaches them how they look at life. That teaches them how they ultimately regard Almighty God. And if what is presented to them is beautiful, it helps stir that awe and wonder for life that we're all meant for. If it's not, if it's degrading, if it's pessimistic, well, then that pessimism will reflect in our lives. That awe and wonder will be extinguished. And you remove beauty from a civilization, what are you left with? Well, you're left with a certain, you know, cynicism. And that doesn't lead to anything hopeful, which means creativity and and ambition and sort of, you know, success and failure and retrying and rebuilding doesn't exist because we're filled with a certain cynicism. And so I look at music as the an incredible tool, if you will, that has the ability to uplift us, to transcend. It's what art was always meant to be, to transcend the imperfect and always elevate and point to the perfect, to draw us higher. That's why great composers would always take these wonderful, spiritual narratives and write music to it. It wasn't because, you know, halfway through the service, people are going to get bored, so it's time to sing. That's not why we do it. It was written, great music with the spiritual was always written because when the words stop, the beauty continues to elevate in a mystical way. It's like music. Once that note is played, and then it's gone. And then the audience only has the memory of that note. So it's sort of this beautiful dust, if you will, that's before your eyes and then gone. And that beauty somehow shakes you in a way that you maybe never had before, but it's gone. And that's why music to me was always meant to be live and it always meant to be shared in an environment that allows the listener to have a personal encounter with beauty to elevate them. So with regards to goodness, I think that goodness question is imperative. I think most of us approach music like it's, what's a big deal? And, you know, it's, you know, whatever you like, and I don't think that's the case. So, you know, with regards to truth, I will say that regarding truth, you know, one sentence on that, and that is that I think beauty, music is the most impactful thing there is in our culture. I think the one who controls the music is the most powerful person in the world. So whoever is in the earbuds of the kids, they control society. And so with regards to beauty, we've commented on that sort of a great deal. So I'm very aware of those things when I compose and when I present my concerts. It's always meant to draw the upward motion of humanity.
Yeah, that's well said. Music can create also, though. I mean, you know, we talk about beauty, and I always say there's two kinds of music, good and bad. You know, it depends on the listener, I think, sometimes. You know, even, like, you know, we'll have folks in, you know, and that's a little bit of church talk here, that'll want a specific style of music because they feel this is what true beauty and goodness is, and yet for another person it doesn't speak. So, you know, is there a specific melodic structure that is, everyone would say, yes, this is objective beauty, or is it all subjective beauty? It's a hard line to cross because everybody's got an opinion, and you know, sometimes the music helps bring out social issues that's going on in the world, and that creates angst in people. But is, if it causes people into action for a better world, is that a bad thing to create that angst? But there's a lot of music out there that stirs the conversation to say, get off my neck, you know?
Or, you know, Chance the Rapper, for example. I mean, he integrates a lot of classical elements. He brings in Kirk Franklin and gospel. And, you know, there's a lot of transcendental elements in his approach to music making as well. You know?
And some wouldn't find that beautiful, but many would. So
I find it beautiful.
Yeah. Me too. But, you know, so... But I think what you offer it, to me, is extremely beautiful. Last time you were here, you know, the concert's amazing. The musicians are amazing. That the music that you bring helps people connect to the mystery of God, the mystery of love, that type of thing, which people need that too. So, you know, I think there needs to be a balance sometimes of music that helps us be aware of the social issues in our world that sometimes is not easy. So that calls us out to go to the places that you're going to the prisons, and, you know, to those who are considered other.
Give, you know, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter to the homeless, visit the imprisoned. You know,
yeah, that's definitely corporal, you know, work of mercy.
Corporal work of mercy.
You know, and this is just a couple things on what you guys were talking about, and just a quick comment with regards to all the different styles of music, and then I'll sort of, you know, touch on that just a little bit. I think there's different styles of music that serves different purposes, and so I know what my goal is and I know what I write. But like, for example, you mentioned a lot of rap. I don't think, you know, people who create a lot of rap are after creating, you know, I think their goal is to do exactly what you said, you know, to sort of inspire and be thought provoking with regards to different issues that are present to today. And it can be done. And I've heard some of it that is very positive, and it's meant to be, you know, lyrically clever and challenging and sometimes fun and poetic and rhythmic and all those things. And so what they're trying to achieve with their goal is significantly different than what I'm trying to achieve. It doesn't make it any less valid, right? And then there's music that would appeal to, like, people who are, like, you know, more a lot to the emotions. And just, you know, I'm going through this really hard time, or I find this very soothing, or, well, that's also valid. It's just very, it's just different functions and different purpose, you know? So it's not that I'm trying to say, oh, there's only one way or there's only this. I think the beauty is that, you know, like you take Gregorian chant, it's, there's nothing musically, no one would look at that and say, oh, it's, you know, musically brilliant. But I think people would listen to it and say, oh, it's sublime. Well, what does it serve? It serves elevating. Like, it doesn't, there's something very interesting about the style of Gregorian chant, and that there's no beat, there's nothing which distracts from the transcendent. The focus is to take prayer and to elevate it that much more. So we put a melody to it, and a melody that is almost ethereal. It's just uplifting. So just different things, I think, serve different purposes. But just with regards to, you know, you mentioned the corporal works of mercy, I do want to make this clear. Not everybody's meant to go into some of these dark places. To a certain degree, these places are unnatural. To go into a prison is tough. I had a violinist who, you know, oh, Eric, I can't wait to go in. I can't wait to go in. And when we got through the sick, I mean, they take your cell phone, they take everything. They open the first gate and they close it. Then they open the second, they close it. Then you're in the prison. And, you know, it could be tough sometimes emotionally. And the violinist couldn't handle it. And that's okay. It doesn't make them weak. It doesn't make them not a good person or anything like that. It's just, it's not for everybody. And so I look at it and I think we are all, I think, invited to be engaged with people who suffer, but to do it in a way that suits you and that works for you and that brings out the best in you. And then you do it, you know, you go and you know, for example, I always encourage people, they say, oh, I'm really nervous about, you know, going into a prison. I think, well, you can come and just sit in the back, watch me perform. That's it. You don't have to engage with anybody. You don't have to talk to anybody. Just sit at the back and watch me perform. And so a lot of people find that disarming and they find that acceptable. And then they figure out from there, I love doing that because it invites them into the game. Then from there, you know, the Holy Spirit talks to them and then they feel, oh, I can do A, B, or C. But when you're just sort of looking at something from afar, it's just, oh, I imagine what that's like. And I imagine myself doing this. And I think, okay, a lot of that is just imagining. So how about, you know, putting something real, but doing it in a way that's comfortable for the person. So corporal works of mercy, I think, are vital. And some people just aren't comfortable. So that's fine. Go into a nursing home. Or go and tutor a child in math, or go, there's so many things to do, like all these inner city schools. The last thing on a lot of these children's mind is school. So what if you went and made a buddy with one of those kids or one of those families and just help them out? Like, there's so many things that you can do when you talk about corporal works of mercy.
Yeah. So the new album called Redemption.
Yeah, this is your first album in 10 years. And why such a long gap? Eric, what's the deal, dude?
I went on vacation. No, that's not true. So I was four. So 10 years ago, I recorded with the Slovak National Symphony Orchestra. And I was honored to do that. And I was there and we performed and I had a couple of CDs that I recorded when I was there. And then since then, I've been writing and writing and writing. But you see, if you have, you know, I play in prisons. So there's never a lot of money kicking around. And recordings, to do them well, cost a fair amount. So the question is, when you earn the income, what do you do with it? I could go and do a recording or I can go into prison. So there's always that question, where does the money go? Gentlemen, you know, I got a letter from a guy once that knocked me out. Dear Eric, he said, my wife died and therefore my reason for living died. Since then, that was 5 years ago, he said, I feel like I've been buried alive. I can't even breathe in here. And then, you know, it was a tough one because he then said, you know, so then he said he came to the show and he said he felt new life. He says he doesn't know what it was, and he felt, you know, really motivated and filled with hope to move forward. I love that. Right. So another story, there was a guy that called me. He just got out of prison and he called me on the phone because I give every inmate my brochure. So every inmate in this country has my cell phone number, has my email address, has it all. And so, you know, people ask, is that safe? I don't know. Anyway, so I just feel if we're not going to make ourselves accessible to them, well, what are we going to do? You know, like we keep just, oh, I'm worried about protecting me. Then what, you know, how are people going to get better if we don't make ourselves a little vulnerable to them? But anyway, this gentleman called me and said, 5 years ago, you came into my prison. He said, I had the noose ready. He was ready to end things, you know, and to take matters into his own hands. He said, all my friends had done it. And my show was a couple days before Christmas. And so he said, his cellmate said, hey, you should come to the concert. And the guy said, I don't want to go hear someone singing Jingle Bells. And so he said, no, really, you should go see this concert. So the guy came to the concert and you know, we didn't sing Jingle Bells, but we played the show. And he said, I was ready to go. And that show gave me hope. You gave me just enough hope to carry on. He said, I'm out now. I'll do fine. I feel very encouraged. He says, you'll never hear from me again because I will be fine. And then he's right. I never heard from him again. So anyway, that was a beautiful story. When you can't really justify doing another recording. Besides, gentlemen, here's a little secret. And that is that I love the recordings and I'm really glad we have them. However, that's not how music is ever really meant to be expressed. For me, a real joyful time is if recordings didn't exist at all and only live presentations were available. I believe the music is meant to be live. There is something so sterile about all rock, I suppose, because, you know, you got that beat going and that driving beat and all that stuff. But really, to get the intimacy of a violin, it's got to be live. Absolutely has to be live. You will never imitate a live performance with any recording. So, you know, given the choice for me to go and play some live shows in a prison, you know, where you can uplift people or do a recording. I mean, I understand the purpose of recordings and the need for them, but it, you know, to do the live concerts was always more of a priority for me. So that's why when COVID hit, basically you couldn't go into prisons, couldn't go into rehab centers, you couldn't go into inner city schools, you couldn't go into nursing homes, you couldn't go anywhere, couldn't go to the VA hospitals. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't set up. I couldn't even set up. I told them, I said, look, I'll go in the parking lot, set up my gear, plug into a generator or plug into just one outfit, and I'll blast the music so the whole prison hears. They said no. So there was nothing I could do to present my music. So I did a recording. I took that opportunity to do a recording. And these are pieces that I've written. I mean, I could do 5 recordings tomorrow. I have so much music ready to go. But yeah, so I took advantage of that and did the recording then. And I'm really happy with Redemption. I'm going to be playing a lot of pieces from Redemption in upcoming concerts. So
let's hear another one.
Yeah, let's hear another song.
Okay. Let me think here. Okay, I'll give you a Fast and Furious one. As a Mercy was a nice and gentle one. This one is called Conquest.
Conquest from Eric Jennings' new album, Redemption. Are you listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5? We'll be right back with more from Eric Jennings and where you can get his music. So stay tuned.
Thank you.
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm Greg Walton with my co-host, John Angotti. We are here with Eric Jenness, and we just listened to his song Conquest off his new album Redemption, his first new album in 10 years, and we were talking a little bit about that. We've been talking about the importance of truth, beauty, and goodness in music and all the different ways that that can happen. And Eric, it's just been such a blessing to have you both playing at St. Philip and on Living Room this morning. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts.
Oh, it is such a delight to be with you guys. Thank you for having me. I'm really honored by that.
So, Eric, where can people get music or you know, if they want to Venmo you or, you know, support your ministry?
Yeah. So it's just, you can go to ericjenness.com or you can go to concertsforhope.net. And all the information's there. And if you have any problems, you can contact me about that. And also, if you know, if you are in a situation, you think, oh, you know, I'd love to sort of host a concert, just contact me. We'll make it work.
Yeah. So that's great. So we hope you all can check Eric's concert out on our website, stphilipfranklin.com.
Yep, we do. We have him on our announcement section there, and you can also catch the concert on our live stream if you were not
awesome.
Able to attend in person.
Yep. So that's great. So a lot of stuff happening here in St. Philip, and to all the mothers today.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
You know, I'm excited, dude. So my daughter just had our first grandbaby. So and so this is her first Mother's Day too. So I'm just gonna say Happy Mother's Day to Sarah. And
that's awesome.
It's a lot to celebrate, you know.
I'm sitting next here to Grandpa.
Yes, I'm Granddad.
Yeah, that's right. Well, go out and say hi to, you know, bless all the mothers. Be good to your mother, whether your mother's living here and living in heaven like my mother. So, God bless to everyone, and thank you, Eric, for being here on Living Real Radio. So until next time, go out and smile at somebody. We're going to go out with a song by Eric called Butterfly. So have a great day. God bless. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.